Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, bringing you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Use the link in the show notes below to access. Today on The Ether, we have a space hosted by Bloomer and friends. It's the Crypto Literacy Space. Let's take a listen.
Awesome. Yeah, and you'll see competing communities online FUD other projects, which is a shame. So, like, we want to make you guys street smart about crypto, okay? Does that make sense? Like, we just want to give you some pointers and, you know, get you ready and increase your awareness, all right? So, awesome. Thank you, guys. Any other lingo that we might have missed real quick?
One that's important, not as catchy as like FOMO and stuff, but like panic sell, just as a concept. That's something that is important to understand. Like, just like you should you should never FOMO into a project. You should never be panic selling out of a project.
Perfect. We're going to come back to that because we're going to talk about chasing. We're going to talk about drawdowns and we're going to talk about volatility, if that's okay, Aldo. I hope you don't mind. Baroness, I see your hand is up, so please go.
I was going to also include HODL and LIFO, last in, first out, and hold on for dear life.
How do we forget HODL? That's like the
number one. Yeah, this is a new format, and you know, this is our first time out of the gate. You know, this is liftoff here on a whole new thing. So we're going to learn together and. Great job. I love that.
Diamond hands, Boomer.
Oh, that's awesome. Diamond hands is like you believe in the project. Nobody's going to shake you out. Love that one.
Or lettuce hands.
That's weak as can be, right?
Yeah. Guys that sell at the first drop of any FUD.
Yeah. I mean, FUD is a powerful force in crypto and online, right? And by the way, real quick, you guys are seeing the power of community right here. Like, I've known these guys for 2 weeks. And we just finish each other's sentences. We help each other. We get the right message out. You know, that's my one thing I would say. Like online, man, find your people. Have some fun with this stuff because the community aspect of crypto is amazing. So definitely get involved with that. All right. I think we should go right to the NFTs because we have a young crowd. And I don't know who wants to take it. I don't want to do all the talking. So Aldo, Lucky, or Big T, or Baroness, whatever you want to do. But let's talk about NFTs. Let's talk about the community in there. And kind of what they do, and then we can go to meme coins after that, right? We're just trying to introduce some things that everybody kind of knows, and then later on we can get into some other stuff, okay? So and whoever wants to take it, please, thank you.
I can start with it, and then thank you guys can add on. So I mean, to me, you'll see NFTs, and the acronym is called non-fungible token, and it's super weird when you hear it. You're like, what's a non-fungible token? Really what it is a digital asset. So what we say a digital asset is it has a unique identifier, and that unique identifier is saying what that thing is. So imagine you bought the Mona Lisa, and the Mona Lisa has an address. That address is tied to that Mona Lisa, and then we know who the owner is. So then that address is tied to you as an owner. So everywhere when you hear blockchain, you can look at who actually owned it first, how it got transferred. It's kind of like a digital footprint for a digital asset, which then you call a non-fungible token, which is related to like a picture, or it could be like a loan. It could be anything that's in the ecosphere of the blockchain. So I'll start there, and then Baroness or Aldo, you speak to you.
That was awesome. Thank you, buddy. That was great. Anybody else want to add to the NFT thing? I mean, obviously they're unique. They can't be photocopied. They're special, right?
Yeah. So they're unique. which Bloomer just mentioned, and kind of the first iterations of NFTs that we're seeing are art, digital art. It started out with JPEG art, and now it's kind of getting more and more sophisticated. But ultimately, there are going to be other applications that utilize the NFT structure. I could see voting down the line being used. I think that's one application that people have talked about for utilizing NFTs. There are a lot of different methods. I mean, you could have songs, musicians could make albums that are NFTs or a song that is an NFT. And one of the cool things about NFTs, just as an aside, as in terms of the how to capitalize off of it or make money off of it, is the royalties aspect. So in traditional like memorabilia, like baseball cards or football cards or collectibles, the creator or the person, like say the football player that's in the card, he only gets paid one time. Okay. So whatever he charges the creator, like, you know, the baseball card company, he only gets paid once. All right. I think that's how it works. But what's cool about NFTs is you can build royalties into your own smart contract. So that say I sell Big T an NFT, and I put in that contract, smart contract, every time that that NFT, that unique non-fungible token is sold, I receive a percentage of the proceeds. So there's a lot of unique things that make it more interesting than just traditional memorabilia. And there are other applications coming down the line, I think, for NFTs.
Thank you so much. I've heard like real estate, you can, if you have a unique real estate property, you can put in a 1-2% NFT on the property, and every time it gets sold, just collect royalties over the course of the property's life, which is amazing. Great job. And guys, don't forget, we got young people in here who are fantastic, but they do not have our attention span. So we want to hit it quick. We just want to, like, everybody in the room has ADD like Bloomer, okay? Baroness, what do you got?
I'm going to try to use some real world situations that probably everyone heard about to tie into the NFT for keeping it short and sweet. KISS, another acronym. All right. So everyone heard of Margaret Keane, the 1961-1965 copyright publishing issue with Big Eyes. This is one of the first artscapes where she was the creator. Her husband took the copyrights of her work and sold it to mark each individual copy for like postcards and so forth. That was the beginning of artwork that came out. Now publication with books as well, and contracts to actually copyright can be replaced minus the lawyers, et cetera. The way the technology for NFTs work is that you end up having a certain amount of publication printouts that are associated in an NFT token. If it's destroyed, sold, not stored, and for retail, then you end up having a token burn, and that's how it increases value over time and becomes a collectible. So that's just in a nutshell.
Love it, love it. And then for all you guys out there, like, the reason we wanted to go with NFTs is obviously they're popular, but we were talking about community before, and NFT is really about the community, the people that are in the collection. So you have a couple really popular NFTs right now, like Bored Ape Yacht Club, CryptoPunks. But like these people, it's cool. Like you own your NFT. You're with these people are all on the same journey with you. And I think that's really speaks to part of like the crypto experience with NFTs. Like I look forward to buying an NFT with my kids soon. And I'm ready now. I get it now. I kind of get it. Like it's the community. It's the quality artwork. It's pretty dope. And then great job, Aldo, like Big T, whenever you want to come up, you're my guy. And NFTs will go into voting. They'll go into other stuff. So community, and then we'll thank you. Yep.
Bloomer, let me just say one thing, just because we'll get to it later, is liquidity is very important when we talk about all these things. So just remember the word liquidity and we'll talk about it. But
you know, great point.
NFT or a token, liquidity is very, very important as you're jumping into this journey.
100%. And the liquidity was the reason why I didn't get into the NFTs right now. I like liquidity and I like great point. Big T, my guy, what's up, man?
You know, I just want to talk about NFTs too, which is really unique. You know, it's such a undiscovered area, and there's multiple ways to collect NFTs. There's also things that are called fractional shares of NFTs, which is a small portion of a larger, picture or song or something like that, that you can actually collect too. So you don't, when you get into NFTs, if you create an NFT, it's not something that you necessarily have to create a whole, or if you're somebody who's trying to buy it, you can buy fractional shares of NFTs as well. So that's just something that's unique about, NFTs.
Love it. Thank you guys. You guys are awesome. Everybody having a good time so far? Flash some emojis so we know we're on the right track. All right. All right, guys, let's go. Should we take some questions on NFTs real quick? Or what do you guys think? Does anybody have any questions? Oh, awesome. Hang on one second. I have a special guest. Infinity. How you doing, Infinity?
I was questioning about NFTs. Why can't someone just take a picture of it and copy it into something else and own it?
Great job being on the chat, Infinity. Who wants to answer it for who wants to take this one?
I'll take this one. The whole thing is, yes, you can take a photo of it. Now, the difference in this is a little history lesson. 1701, I'm going to bore people with this. 1701, that there was a legislation by Queen Elizabeth that created a publication law, which was for copywriting of anything published, your record albums, your calendars, and so forth. Doesn't mean you don't have people that bootleg it, take photos and so forth, but this way that the original pieces are registered and in a contract. NFTs go a little bit farther though than just imagery. Your smart TV, the way that you do your gaming and so forth, also has NFT technology. I'm not going to get into that, but later on, I know Bloomer's going to have these programs every week. We can get deeper into that.
Thank you so much, Baroness. And again, Infinity, awesome job, Infinity. Great job. I might know Infinity, people. You might have figured that out. All right. Who wants to, either Big T, Aldo, Paul, whoever wants to, let's talk meme coins because there's a community aspect to it. Obviously, the younger people are pretty into the meme coins. So let's maybe talk some meme coins, take more questions, whatever. Big T, am I doing okay?
Sorry, you're cutting it out for a second.
Yeah. Or maybe how am I doing on my spaces? Do I need any help from you yet?
Oh God, bro, you're crushing it. You're doing great.
All right, cool. So who wants to take the meme coin conversation for me? Put your hand up or go for it. Obviously the speakers that I know, the VGX heroes, please, one of you guys, whoever wants to do it. And then let's talk about okay. Thank you, Aldo.
Yeah. So meme coins are simply just meme coins. That's all they are. There's nothing really to them. They are centered off something that's funny and fun. And the first or the biggest, most notable meme coin of this past cycle was Doge. And then that spurned a whole lot of knockoffs. And, you can find probably 1,000 different dog coins at this moment. But basically, meme coins are just a way of showing support for something that you think is funny. And you just buy it generally, at least from my perspective, for a goof, for a laugh, because it makes you feel good. And you find it funny. And then you get connected with a community and maybe you really like that community. But meme coins in and of themselves aren't really designed to do much. So that's the short answer.
That was good. And meme coins and NFTs, maybe they're your gateway into crypto, but just know that there's a lot more going on in crypto and there's a lot more technology and there might be a better way to be in crypto as an investment. Okay. But obviously we're going over stuff that we're kind of catering it to the younger crowd a little bit. But we just want to kind of go over some of the obvious things that a lot of people are hearing about and might not know about it. Right. All right.
Yeah, let me just add something there, Bloomer.
Yeah, let's
I think
go,
if
man.
You guys
awesome.
Are on if you guys are on Instagram and TikTok, you see a lot of influencers talking about certain tokens or coins or how they're making a killing off of it. Be wary and cautious of that. When you start understanding how these meme coins work, they're actually paid sometimes to talk about these coins. So this is where it's going to get important as you get further into like Bloomer's, understanding of cryptocurrency and this world of what those tokens really mean, what's the liquidity behind it, how many supply is out there of the token. So So just start thinking about that and say, okay, this person's talking about it. Why? And then when you start understanding a little bit more about it, start trying to figure out what's really behind it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Does anybody have a question that came up as a new speaker?
Floki does.
That's okay. No, okay, cool. Yeah, cool.
No question, but I just want to say, Bloomer, you're killing it. Don't hesitate. You're doing fantastic. We
Thank
could all
you,
hear
buddy.
You. At least
Thank
I
you.
Can hear you loud and clear. Just to mic check you, you're doing just fine.
Thank
I'd
you.
Like to say that a simplified version of a meme coin, think of it as you're investing in a community, in what something is cool, right, at the time. You're kind of and what's cool changes from time to time. So Mimi, that kind of coin or crap coin, I don't know how young the audience is, but we all know what I'm trying to say. Don't look at it like a technology, right? Look at it like a movement. You know, is there enough momentum behind the people? Is there paid advertising? You know, it doesn't necessarily need to do anything. It just needs to have enough people. So you've seen this transition, right? It was Dogecoin, then Shiba coin. And now it's haunting me a little bit, but I'm hearing Floki coin all over the place. And I swear I did not choose Floki because of that coin. I actually found out afterwards. Elon named his dog Floki, and I've been battling bots ever since. And that's another thing. You'll see a lot of bots, a lot of automated scripts that are just posting things related to that meme coin, trying to generate noise, essentially. So community versus technology, right? That's the simple way to break it down. Mimi is a community. Other crypto coins, shameless plug, VGX, that's more of a utility, and technology.
We should update our definition, also add bad actors.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like I'm gonna be in the guide, because like I have a whole area related to scams and stuff, and you know, the bad actors, the marketing, like there's a lot of, it's not a heavily regulated space. So I just feel like, you know, you read the guide, you get into it. I'm trying to find the link so I could post it on top. That's what I'm working on right now. All right. Great job, guys. Who wants to take GameFi play to earn? I think that would be cool. I know Infinity's a big gamer. So like, who wants to take that? Like where you play the games and you earn some stuff. It's wide open. Thank you, guys.
Baroness, you're a gamer, aren't you? Not to dox your internet.
I might get too intricate on it, but play as you earn in a nutshell is just as it says. Usually when you do your gaming as of now, you have certain tokens that are associated to the particular game that you're in, which is called the Web3 or a metaverse, that you can end up transitioning your coinage, whether it's USD fiat that we currently have in everyday lifestyle, transition into the game to whatever token that they have, and buy skins and so forth. You can have developers in their game as well. And by participation, you can end up earning coins as well, or tokens that they currently have, and transverse them back into your USD dollar.
Yeah, so you're actually earning something that has a monetary value, right, of crypto, right? Which I think is pretty cool. And the funny thing is I heard that like play to earn is much bigger in Asia right now. And it's not as popular in the United States because the Americans are spoiled rotten and it's not enough rewards right now. How about that?
A great example, but it's not crypto, is I'm pretty sure since we have a younger crowd, who likes Fortnite? Just give me 100s. Awesome. All right. So with Fortnite, you end up, let's say you buy Microsoft dollars because you're playing on Xbox. Now you can end up using your Xbox dollars to buy Fortnite V-Bucks or whatever other game that you're playing. Those would be in the Web3 consideration. Those individual games would be on their own metaverse platform. So the Microsoft dollars you can convert back and forth. And in Fortnite particular, you have, you know, every week you have the NCS, which you can end up doing your competitions to win more V-Bucks or win skins and so forth. Now, the difference between that being Web 2 to Web 3 would be you can change those back out earnings for real bucks.
Awesome, and Barry.
So it's really
awesome.
Cool as well. What's really cool as well is like the blending of NFTs, metaverse, and play to earn, because now the skins, essentially it's a skin, but you can buy, you will be able to buy NFTs in games and that will carry over to other games. So it's just not, that's not just stuck in one game. So you can have a unique asset, like a certain weapon or a certain, you know, whatever you're trying to buy, you can carry that over to other games, which is pretty cool in the metaverse. And then all while getting paid to play. So there's a nice, like, there's a nice intersection of these three different but similar concepts.
You know, yeah, there's also,
get him, you know, Big T, get him.
There's also, you know, something that's been on the horizon as far as, and it's been spoken about, where you can actually wager another opponent with a type of cryptocurrency in Web3 for gaming, which is huge because, you know, right now, one of the biggest knockdowns is that, you know, it's a taxable event. They have to, you know, find unique ways to tax this kind of money. You know, creating a game like that, and there's going to be, essentially, if you think you're better than somebody else at another game, you could wager them cryptocurrency and then, you know, get paid for it based on the results immediately via the blockchain, which is unheard of. It's just so powerful.
Yeah, I would say you guys used the word metaverse. I would just maybe explain what that is if people are wondering.
Yes, we're gonna take a question from crypto real quick. And then I want to, and thank you, Lucky, I apologize. But I want to try to mix the questions in and keep it at a good rate. So thank you. Crypto, sorry, did I lose them?
No, I'm here.
Awesome. What's your question, sir?
It's not really a question, but you were talking about game in Asia, and I'm based in Tokyo.
Okay.
We have here something called gacha game, which is basically like a card trading collector. So you purchase a character randomly into a game, and NFT, crypto, blockchain, all these things will be a very, very big boost here, because it's a kind of a new game that I don't think you have much in US. It's not very common there, but it's a huge, huge market in all of Asia. So keep an eye on all that is called gacha game for blockchain and NFT.
Awesome. Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you so much. Okay, awesome, guys. Having a lot of fun. Should we talk about staking? I mean, what else do you guys think we should get into? I have a little menu here. I think we could do DYOR, but I feel like that's a little bit, I think I want to save DYOR for next time. Should we talk about drawdowns and volatility and stuff and like not chasing? I don't know. Big T, what do you think? What do you think else would be pretty cool to kind of go over?
Yeah, no, I think that would be great, actually, if we can go over, you know, just a basic level of staking, because I think it's so important, especially for the young people, to understand why this is such a powerful thing. So I think touching base just on that and keeping very specific to that will be beneficial to them.
All right, awesome.
And then we can cover anything else that you want.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So I'll go ahead and start off on the staking. So guys, you know, staking and crypto essentially is you putting your money in an area and then you getting return money on your money. Now, why this matters is because in cryptocurrency specifically, we get really, really good yields. We get a lot of money for our money. So when you actually look at, you know, how do we get this money for our money? Cryptocurrency companies, whether it be exchanges or brokerages, are actually doing the same thing that banks do. But the only difference is that as opposed to the banks keeping the majority of the profits that they're paid from what's called a market maker, the cryptocurrency companies are actually paying us the money instead. So that's really, really important to understand. At a traditional bank, your savings account, they'll usually pay you 0.0015% if you're lucky. In cryptocurrency, we get paid 9%, at least on the Voyager app, for our yield. So essentially, and let me do this as a rough number. If I had $100,000 in my bank account, I'm going to be paid from, and I'm going to use Voyager specific, I'm going to be paid $9,000 a year for my $100,000. Well, if you were to take that in terms with a bank, it's probably like around, I don't know, $4 or $5. So you can see the major difference there. It's substantial. So staking is one of the most important aspects because it creates passive income for you, and you can utilize that money how you see necessary. So please listen up when I say, you know, making money on your money is so important, guys, because it's not just about making money. It's about preserving your wealth.
Awesome, buddy. That was awesome. Anybody else want to add to staking? Awesome job, Big T.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, and even in a more general sense, I mean, something that I wish that they had taught me when I was in high school was just compound interest. I mean, beyond the basic mathematical formula, like the importance of it and you know, in your life and what it can mean when you start early. And that's why I think one of these concepts of, especially if you're talking to younger people, like in high school or just getting into college, getting them to understand the exponential nature of like compound growth and what it ultimately, how it can be a huge tool to improve your financial life.
Great point. Right. And obviously, you know, that's what's really cool about what we're doing here, because there's crypto elements of financial literacy, right? And with compounding interest, I mean, a 9% compounding is going to beat a 2% compounding all day, right? Hang on a second. Infinity, do you understand compounding returns?
Yes.
Do you guys want to give it a rip? How old are you guys?
14.
You're 14 now. Okay, cool. All right. Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, and I would just add a little bit on that.
Yep, go, please.
This is a topic that I'm pretty passionate about. You know, when you're in high school and you're spending money, and as you get into college, you're going to spend more money, you know, just think about that money you're spending and just put a little bit aside and invest in and think about the investments that you can make into these things that will appreciate over time. And then you're hearing compounding interest. So think about what that money could look like. So go Google a calculator, put compound interest. Say you put $10 a month a week, make it up $5 a month a week, and just see how that money grows over time. Start young, do it early, and you guys will look back, because time goes so fast. Before you know it, it will grow into something big that you can't even think you could accomplish.
Yeah. Sorry, Aldo. I mean, that's the beauty of high school literacy and even like, you know, getting into stuff at 14, like you have time, Matt, you have time and money on your side when you get it that quick. So sorry, Aldo, I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to cut anybody off.
No, you're good. I just, there's so many topics that kind of touch on each other.
Yeah.
What Lucky was just saying, and one that I think we could talk about at a basic level is dollar cost averaging. So that's another way, you could start that effect of compound growth, compound interest.
All right, hit it, buddy. Tell the room what DCA means, please. And then when you're done, we gotta take questions from Rosa, Brad, and then Legacy or comments. Okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Okay, sure. So really quickly, to DCA is the dollar cost average. And all that means is it is a method of investing whereby you pick an interval, you know, whether that's every week, every month, you know, every day, and you invest in an asset. So say that I believe in Bitcoin. I really like Bitcoin. I say, okay, I want to buy Bitcoin once a week, every Friday. I'm going to put $10 instead of going out to eat for lunch. I'm going to bring my lunch. I'm going to save that money. And then I'm going to put that $10 into Bitcoin every Friday. I'll buy. And so what it does is I set it and forget it. And now I don't have to think about it anymore. And over time it grows and grows. But the really cool thing, and what makes DCA different than other types of, you know, methods of investment, is it averages out over time, because the markets are volatile. They go up and down, and humans have we're not psychic, so we can't predict the top or the bottom. So when you DCA, what you're doing is you're buying the tops, the bottoms, the middles, and that's averaging your actual cost basis over time and bringing it to the mean. So it's actually the best way and the lowest stress way of investing. So DCAing is a really great way to invest.
Awesome. Thank you, Aldo. And we're going to come back to DCA when we talk about drawdowns and volatility, because we might as well explain that in crypto world. Thank you guys so much. I just want to say, again, appreciate the VGX heroes who are really cool and they know how to teach, and it's been so much fun. All right. Rosa, what's up? We're going to go Rosa, Brad, then Legacy. Rosa.
Hey, I just want to say, first of all, I found your Twitter like a couple days ago, and I've been listening to a couple of your spaces that maybe like you're talking a little bit more and longer, but like amazing spaces. I've learned a lot. Thank you so much. I really dove into NFTs, but like I'm really trying to focus on crypto. So I had two questions.
Sure.
Staking NFTs. I've kind of seen that around and like I don't really understand it. And I was wondering if maybe someone could kind of explain that to me, because I get it with the crypto, but when it comes down to the NFTs, that's kind of where it gets me. And then, I've also seen kind of staking on Sandbox, and I've just started to really do some research on that. And same thing, I wanted to know if maybe someone could kind of explain it to me. And that one's more for, I was looking at the Matic coin.
I love Matic, so I'm a big fan of Matic. Does anybody know about staking NFTs? That's a little bit above my current knowledge base, because I'm not really in NFTs that well. Does anybody on the panel want to take a shot at that? Or, I mean, it's probably the same concepts, right? But
yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about it. I don't know if anybody, does anybody else know?
NFTs, because they create their own tokens, and NFTs are built off of a particular chain. NFTs can be built on any chain. They have their own ecosystem. Most of the time when you have NFT staking, it comes with some sort of metaverse P2E, which is a play to earn format. So when you end up staking out, it holds just like it, the same concept, it holds it to build rewards up and so forth. So if you're going to stake, make sure that you are funding a project you believe in, of course, and that you are also in a form of playing to earn.
That's a great explanation. I forgot about that. There are NFTs where you get rewards and you can stake those rewards. So great answer. Baroness bringing the heat. Throw up some emojis for her. This is awesome. Nice job. Rosa, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that makes sense. I kind of figured, but like I was just kind of guessing. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
No, it's awesome. Thanks for coming up. Brad, what's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for putting this together. It's definitely been very informative, so I appreciate that. I'm definitely new to the crypto space and interested in purchasing. So I just wanted to get like a high-level process of how to purchase a crypto, because I've been hearing things lately that I wasn't sure in terms of like gas fees, or like I'm glad she said staking, because that was another one of the things. So like, you know, in context of like buying a stock, you know, you connect your bank account to a Schwab account, then you put in a ticker, you could purchase the stock. But for crypto, it's a little bit different, right? Because you have like gas fees or staking or and all this other stuff.
Gotcha.
So you could do like a high level from you know, maybe setting up a coin
base. I can take that one.
We got you, man. We got you. No worries.
I can take that one. So it's similar to what you're probably used to, like a Schwab or a TD Ameritrade. You find a centralized exchange, and we as a Voyager community really like Voyager. So that's a platform. If you're not in New York, you can use it. There's other things like Coinbase out there that you hear. You set up your bank account, you move in money, and then you pick a stock or slash crypto that you want to buy. The fees that you pay on that platform is to buy it, just as if you were buying like a small stock. And what happens is when you want to move off the platform, that's when you start paying what you hear about those gas fees or fees. So really, if you stay within the platform that you're with, you won't pay those gas fees that you hear people talking about. But when you want to go buy those really meme coins on these platforms that we'll probably get to later, that you can start getting really into the world of crypto, you have to start moving your crypto around the world. And when you start moving it is when you start paying gas fees. So hopefully that answered your question.
Great answer, by the way.
Yep, that's helpful. And just one more, just to add on to that, because can you talk a little bit about like, and I've heard about like swapping or something like that, like on Uniswap or LBank or
I can touch upon it just real quick. I won't go too deep in it, but typically on your big exchanges, you have your big coins like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Avalanche. You'll find Voyager. You'll find coins that you hear commonly. Then you hear about these meme coins or coins that are really in the ecosphere. To be able to buy those, you have to swap them somewhere. And there are exchanges like Uniswap or PancakeSwap, where you say, I'll give you one Bitcoin for you to give me 500,000 of your coin. And that's when you start getting a little bit deeper and a little bit more scarier when it comes to when Bloomer talks about it's not regulated. You're kind of in the world of, I think this is a good project. I trust these people. I'm going to put my money where it is. But there's things that you hear called rug pool. There's things that you hear that they pool liquidity. Like, as we get deeper into these conversations, we'll probably go into that. But that's kind of that, that'll call it that second level of getting into crypto.
Copy. Thank you.
And I do want to touch base in this as well. Brad, when it comes to swapping, I'm just throwing this out there, just you being new to the space. When it comes to swapping, don't ever swap with an individual. I know that sounds cliche or this, that, and the other. That term can be thrown around real loosely. Don't ever, if somebody says, I will give you, you know, if you give me X amount of coins, I will give you X amount of coins in return. Do not ever do that. And never. If you want to do that on a platform or an exchange, that's one thing. But don't ever do it with an individual. They will take your money. And there are a lot of people out there.
They will take your money. Like, I have a whole section devoted. I have two sections in this guide devoted to scams, because like I'm not kidding when I say I need you to be street smart. Like, that's just how crypto is, unfortunately, because it's not regulated, and it's just something you have to be aware. So if you're on a Voyager or you're on a platform that's safe, you're cool, you're good. But like, I went on Uniswap 9 months ago and I bought something. I was freaking out, man. I had to buy Ethereum and I had to swap it for something else, and I was scared. I had to set up a wallet, and I'm a Gen X guy, so I was like, what? So it's manual. It's not like going on your Apple phone and downloading an app. It's so you got to be careful and you got to go slow. But tonight we want to keep it simple, introduce, get you guys comfortable, because this stuff can get super technical. There's like 7 different sectors, and we just want to kind of break you guys in and bring it in, and then every week we'll add to it, right? Like, we're kind of like, we're doing layups, like we're doing basic stuff tonight just to get everybody comfortable, because you guys are, everybody is more than capable once you do your education, right? So we want to educate you, get you ready, and we want you to have a great first experience, okay? Thank you, but thank you, Brad. I hope that answers your question. We got you?
Definitely. Appreciate it, guys.
Ah, man, that's awesome. Thank you, bro. Legacy, how are you?
What's up, Bloom? Appreciate you having me on. Appreciate you bringing me up.
Yeah, I mean, you know the guys in the room. We're chilling here.
Man, and this might be too deep, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of go back to what y'all said a couple minutes ago. Okay, I want to learn more about Voyager, okay? And I'm thinking about stocks, I'm thinking about mutual fund, index funds. I'm thinking about a 9% return if I put my money in there. Is there something similar to that in the crypto space? So like, if I go to Voyager, and I'll, like, let's say I set a goal of like, I want to put $100 a month in there, okay? Is there something where I can like a mutual or index fund, but in the crypto world, where I can put my money in? Or is that what Voyager is? Can y'all kind of walk me through like a beginner guide to that, like to get into Voyager?
Big T, you guys want to take this?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead, Lucky.
Yeah, I can. Okay, I'll start. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Voyager is a platform. You can bring money in there, and then you can buy different coins and make a yield percentage off it, right? So think about when you guys hear dividends in stocks. It's the same exact concept. I can move $1,000. We'll use fiat for a second. I can use $1,000 US, move it into a platform. So you can move $1,000 of USD into a platform like Voyager, buy a certain coin. You can buy US dollar, right, which is pegged to the dollar, and you can make a percentage off that, like a dividend. So you can make 9% if you buy USDC. You can make 4% if you buy Ethereum. So if you go to the Voyager website, you can see all the percentage you can make based off a coin. That's kind of what you're talking about from a dividend perspective. As you get farther into the crypto world, you can find things like we were talking about earlier, like staking or liquidity pools, or there's some coins out there that pay you dividends. That's probably a little more advanced. But as you get farther into this journey,
you can find those things that kind of operate like a mutual fund that will pay you back in that aspect also. Does that answer your question? Blue.
Absolutely. That's a great basis. Lucky, thank you so much. Blue, yeah, is that kind of where you would want to bring in somebody that can kind of help your money around?
Right. I mean, you asked the question about an ETF, and just to keep it simple, the Bitcoin is the easiest trade you'll ever make. You know, like it's the Mac Daddy, it's the grandfather of crypto. It's held by institutions, it's held by government. So we don't really have ETFs because, you know, it's obviously a different asset class, and it's, you know, like crypto falls under currencies. Some of it is commodities. I think it's technology. But if you're looking for something that'll be representative of crypto, kind of like an ETF of a market, they don't have that really. But you would buy Bitcoin to hold the coin. One day there will be a Bitcoin ETF, but that's a different issue because when you own a Bitcoin ETF, guess what? It's being held in US dollars. And part of the goal of crypto is to get out of fiat and to get away from the US dollars. So that's why you kind of want to own directly into crypto. So that way you're getting away from this government global system that has some issues and you're hedging your currency, right? So most people, when they start off, they go with Bitcoin, Ethereum. They do some research and then they get to like where we are, where we're more comfortable. So I think if we do this for a month or two, you guys will all be ready within 3 to 6 months, no problem. You'll be able to start buying some stuff. You'll be able to start following it. Like, we just want to help. Like, we're going to, like, I don't know, excuse me, hold your hand a little bit in the beginning, get you comfortable. Big T, what's up?
You know, I just wanted to touch base on what Legacy was asking. So Legacy, for you being new, I highly, highly recommend you download Voyager, put some money in USDC, and then show up to these spaces. And we'll teach you everything you need to know about crypto. We'll you know, obviously it's a progression, but I highly, highly recommend download the app. If you have funds available, put it in USDC immediately, and you'll go ahead and start gaining that 9% interest, and then it will actually lower your cost of entry too. So the money that you make off your interest that's paid to you on the first of the month, you can use that to reinvest. So I just want to keep it short, but I'll send you a referral code so you can download the app and get started. Just put it in the U.S. dollar coin, USDC, and then show up here, and we'll teach you literally everything you need to know, brother.
Yeah, because these guys are on spaces all the time, and literally all they do, and when I get the chance to jump on, is just explain what's going on, explain it. I mean, a 9% return on a stable coin, that's about twice as high of a yield as a dividend stock. Think about that. So obviously, the staking is going to take money from dividend stocks eventually. Great job, Big T. Everybody having fun. 3 weeks
from now, Bloomer, we're going to teach them how to make 19% in the DeFi world.
100%, man. And DeFi is awesome. I just don't want to overload everybody because, oh my God, there's like 50 things we could be talking about right now. And we're trying to be careful.
I just want to say, Big T, thanks. I think I have one, and it's a technical question I don't want to spend too much time on. But if I download the Voyager app, can I transfer funds from my Coinbase to Voyager?
Yes, you can. It has to be in Litecoin, or it has to be a coin that's transferable. When you're on the application, the Voyager app, it'll show what's transferable and what's not. You can always put that into US dollar coins. Say if you have assets or it's an asset you're pondering or wanting to get rid of, you can always sell it off, convert it to USDC, and then send it over directly. Or if it's an asset that is transferable, you can go ahead and transfer it.
Okay. Quick question, though, before trying to sell something, guys. Is your other exchange, does it allow asset swapping, or do you have to actually sell it first before buying?
That is a good question to check into. I hear you.
If you're able to swap into, I know Litecoin is transferable, and if you can change it to USDC, because when you do a sell, remember, capital gains, especially if it's less than 1 year, can be quite a predicament for you.
See, guys, not only do we know crypto in this space, we also know financial literacy and tax implications. And the point is, we're all smart with our money. We want to get the most out of our money that we can. So I love that. It's crossing over, right? It's crossing over. P. Rich, Coach Rich, what do you got?
Quick questions. I have a lot of students listening that have texted me some questions. if you're 18 years old and we promote so much financial literacy in my classroom, what percent should they start investing into crypto? I mean, is there such a thing or you know, I
wouldn't say financial percent. I would say look at what you're spending, right? As an 18-year-old, figure out where you can cut back and invest that to keep a lifestyle, because you're still young. You still want to do things, but there's things you can cut back. Don't go to Starbucks for a week. Don't go to Starbucks for 3 months. Take all that money you would have spent at Starbucks and put it into something like this that's going to appreciate over value. So I don't think there's an answer to a percentage you can give to that. I think it's more, think about your lifestyle, set a goal for yourself, and see if you can hit that goal.
I wanted to touch base on something in regards to that also. So I, you know, like Lucky was just saying, I totally agree with him. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself real quick and kind of tell you how important investing is in life just in general. And it'll tie back to directly what we're talking about. So I'm actually not somebody who graduated high school. I'm not somebody who graduated college. I actually made a lot of my wealth in stocks, putting money into stocks, and I was able to earn money. And it took sacrifice. I think the most important thing when you look at, you know, percentage wise or how much should you start investing in, this goes back to what we were talking about, dollar cost averaging. Guys, if you have the opportunity, I'm not just saying this, $10 a week, you know, say $20 a month, put that money aside and act like you never had it. Utilize just small portions of your money to get into it. You guys are so young, so young. Like if I knew what I knew now, and you'll hear this, you'll hear people say this throughout their life all the time. If I knew what I knew now, I would have started so much earlier. And the reality is it doesn't take much money to set yourself up for the future. It's just willing to make that small little sacrifice to do so. So when we talk about, you know, how much should we, you know, invest, don't look at it as, you know, a dollar amount, you know, just look at it like, okay, you know, I have some extra money here. I'm going to put it in. Don't even think about it. Act like you never had it, and you'll have the opportunity to change your life.
I mean, also use calculators online. Like I did this when I was 16. I remember this. Think about where you want to be and kind of just look at what, if you save, what compound interest means. Like challenge yourself a little bit. You're already ahead being in this group. I'm telling you right now, you will be successful being in this group because you are thinking already differently than probably 2/3 of your high school class and probably 9/10 out of your college graduating class. But think about where you want to be. Start Googling. Put your mindset on how do I want to set myself up for success in the future.
When you have your class for financials with your students, what percentage do you tell them to do in a high yield savings versus how much that they should end up having in debt ratio? And then on top of that, how much do you tell them to invest in the regular stock market?
It's a great question. So I'm kind of going back on the question I just asked with crypto, because I make it a little more basic than that. I talk about just creating some income. I have students that have Etsy businesses. I have students that invest. I have students that work real estate on the side for people. And I just try to tell them to just keep creating some form of income. And if you mow lawns and shovel driveways, well, take one of those streams and invest it in the market. If you go get Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts every day, take the change and hold it. And then at the end of the month, invest it into something. So I hope I'm I'm not dodging the question in a sense, but we kind of just break it down to something even simpler than that.
No, that's great. That's passive income that Big T usually goes into. So my input on that, and I'll let Big T have his take, is I usually tell everyone that your debt ratio, which isn't even debt, is like your average utilities and so forth, your recurring bills should be at about 30%. The fiat mindset is that a lot of times we're a nation to be constantly in debt. You know, to build your credit up, you have to use your debt. You have to constantly use your credit, line of credit, to increase it and so forth. The crypto mine and so forth is, if you could end up reassociating what your debt ratio is of that 30 percentile and put it into a crypto, which you can do your staking and so forth. There's different forms of it in DeFi and centralized. there are certain allocations that you can end up putting into, but there's no, whatever someone's income is, whether it's passive or not, that you should be able to put 35% to 30% away. And what Big T was saying previously about using the Voyager app, if it's reoccurring and so forth, putting USDC, earning 9% or 10.5% on a compact interest and so forth, that's great. Even with your students that want to change, put that 10% out of the 30% into something that would be a high yield long term with like a Roth. But that's my input on it, is 35% to 30%.
So, I just want to cover a little more on this. So one thing I'd recommend to all you guys, because a lot of you guys are going to be working part-time, a lot of you guys aren't going to have a whole bunch of expendable income. I think it's really important, and I'm just going to throw out a figure. Say you make $200 a week. Put $10 to $15 of that into crypto or into a stable coin or something that you feel comfortable with. And obviously, the more we go into the space, the more you'll learn, what projects are kind of good projects and kind of weed out the bad things. But the reality is that $10 to $15 a paycheck over a prolonged period of time in your young adulthood, the amount of gains that you have in front of you when it comes to cryptocurrency will far surpass anything in any other market. So I think start small, as you work more hours, whether you decide to go to college or whether you decide to, join the workforce or whatever it is that you decide to do. I just think starting off small, getting your feet wet is huge. And then you can go into it a little bit deeper.
Hey, that's awesome. And that gets me back to the debt question. When I work with 16, 17, 18 year olds, it's hard to go into too many. They don't have many bills, let's just put it that way, or at least the students I work with. But the biggest bill they're going to have coming up soon is based on their college decision. And that's important. We have a lot of kids that have a lot of college credits coming out of high school. And how important do you guys think it is with investing, whether it's crypto or standard mutual funds or stocks or ETFs or anything, to avoid a huge amount of college debt? How far could they get ahead if they could go the community college route and then 2 years of college and then come on from there?
I mean, I'm in corporate America, and I work in IT, and I have a team of over 60 to 70 people. So I see a lot of resumes come across. I hire interns. And I would say, to be honest, the college that you go to at the end of the day really isn't what, like for me, what I look at. It's more about the process of getting through college and the learnings that you're getting in college. So we like to say the term, don't be the Joneses. Don't go to an expensive school just because your friends are going there and gonna put yourself in a situation where you feel like you're not gonna be able to pay it off. Put yourself in a situation where you have conviction behind that, you wanna do it, but also you can afford it if you're paying for it yourself, right? Like I think that's important to know. And I think the second point of that, Paul, what you're getting to is for all these kids that are gonna start working, like Big T said, and they're having their first jobs, the point of investing, period, taking a little bit of whatever you bring in, putting it aside, is probably the biggest concept that I would want you to walk away with tonight, outside even cryptocurrency. Just whatever is income that's coming in, take a little bit as if you never saw it and put it away. Now, where you put it away is probably what you're going to learn tonight on things that can make more money for you. But just putting it away and not using it is probably the best advice I could ever give someone that's young and that's starting their journey.
I'd love to take a stab at this. I worked in higher education. First of all, I got 3 degrees. I got an undergrad, a master's, and a doctorate. And I worked in higher ed at universities and admissions for almost 5 years before I got into my current field. And so I worked with 17, 18 year olds that were going to make a college decision a lot. And the number one piece of advice, find a great community college. Make sure you go to that community college. And the first day you're there, you find the counselor and say, I want to go to X college after this. And I want to make sure all the classes that I take align with whatever college I want to go to. so that you make sure you don't waste any money on any classes at the community college that aren't going to transfer to that other college, to the next college you go to. And then when it comes, take it from a guy who went to a small rural university in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, and now I'm making over 100K a year. I'm not even saying that, like, I don't even need my degrees to make the money I'm making. But what I'm saying is go to a school where you can work on networking. You can work on learning the things you're in this room learning, where you can learn, just like Lucky said, the process of starting something and finishing something, the mindset of if I have money, I don't have to spend it all. I'm going to always put X number percentage back. I'm always going to pay myself first. I'm always going to pay my future self. Like, those are the things that if you come out of college with those mental capacities, with those things in your head, you're going to be so far ahead of the other people around you. Just the fact that you're in this tonight is showing how far ahead you are of everybody else. So take that, like, be smarter than everybody. Like, there's a reason that there's a, and I could get on a soapbox about higher education. That's not why we're here today, but there's a reason there's so many people in debt, and it's because that's a system to make money. So find that, work the system to your favor. Use community college to your advantage. Make sure those credits transfer. Go to a college that you enjoy, where you're going to like the people you are and be proud of the degree you get, and then get out and get ahead of it.
Amen, Legacy. I mean, we're talking a lot of financial literacy, which is awesome. And I know Paul's my partner in the financial literacy stuff, which is awesome. But crypto is, I think, from an investment standpoint, I think crypto is a superior investment right now because it's a brand new asset class. And then we're all taking advantage of being early adopters. And we know that this asset class is going to go up in market cap from 2 trillion to hopefully 50 trillion, and we're all going to be there. Hang on one second.
You know, I wanted to touch base on what Legacy said real quick in regards to, you being here, that you're at such an advantage. I want you to understand something. I was very transparent about, I didn't graduate college. I didn't, graduate high school, all these different things. You know, it's a really sad fact, guys, and this is just a reality about people that are my age and my parents' age. They didn't have the power that you guys have at your fingertips. They didn't have Twitter spaces like this for people to teach you, about crypto or financial literacy or about all these different things. I'm not just saying this, guys, and listen up when I say this. You being here, like Legacy just said, is going to change your life. If you make that small little sacrifice, we're talking $10, $15, $20 a month, that you'll have the opportunity to live better than most people who are my age or older than me ever had the opportunity to do. But just willing to take that sacrifice and understand how important investing truly is. I can't begin to tell you. Let me put it this way. I put a little bit of money away from my check, like I never seen it. It was like 13%. I was making $15 an hour, guys. You know what that amounted to in 10 years? And if I had, if I had exposure to crypto, I would have 10x'd this. And I would have 10 times the amount of money. But I was able to buy a house, right? I took that house. I sold that house for profit. I made a lot off of it. And I put it right back into cryptocurrency. But it's taking little amounts out of your daily life that ultimately add up to a big thing. And then you can ultimately use that money to get your life jump-started. So whether you're, somebody like Legacy who has the college degrees, or Lucky working in big corporations has the degrees, or even if you're an average Joe like me, somebody who didn't have that capability, and I didn't finish the job, you have the opportunity to set yourself up for the future. I live good right now. I have a beautiful family. I'm happy in life. I'm well set. But it goes back to that sacrifice and understanding. If I take a little bit now, I may not be able to enjoy all the things that I normally would enjoy. But long term, you're going to be living like all of us.
I love the passion, Big T. I'm so happy because I know we were talking financial literacy in the crypto space for like the last week and a half, but I couldn't be happier to have you guys on the panel and share your story. So I really appreciate it, man. This is awesome because this is what I always wanted to get to, where like we show these younger people that it is worth it, right? That it's actually worth it, That's the point of this thing. Like, it's all worth it. Financial literacy changes your life. Crypto investing is going to change your life. So thank you. Thank you, guys. Who's between IB, River, and T, who's the next person on with who should we go to first, guys? And I just got my delivery package for my technology. I'm going to be remote working for the next few months.
I think T was up first. If I'm not mistaken.
All right, cool. So T, please, what's your question? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
All right, doing great.
Nice. So I invited a lot of friends who are just like literally day one into crypto. So can you just give a basic rundown of what crypto is, what a blockchain is, and why it's the future?
Yeah. So here's what I would say, and thank you, by the way. Up on top of this Spaces, the free guide comes out on Tuesday, and we're going to get into a bunch of this stuff. If somebody else wants to answer her questions, let's go for it. But definitely get the guide, because I explain like literally everything you need to know and in about 20 pages, which is good because there's a lot of information. Crypto is money not controlled by the government, backed up by computers and these nodes, and they confirm the transactions, and it's safe, and it's pretty cool, and it's unbiased. It gives people equal opportunity. So it's changing lives. You get a chance to own property, digital property, which is amazing. Blockchains are just what everything's built on and how they confirm and stuff. And it gets a little more technical in the course because you have proof of work, proof of stake, proof of burn. But proof of stake, proof of burn, and proof of work is like how they confirm that the transactions are legitimate. And the coolest part about crypto and technology in general is that, and especially crypto and especially Web3 and everything, is that I could do a transaction with Big T and I don't need a bank involved. And I think that's the big part. Like, you don't need the intermediation, but definitely get the guide, because you're going to, like, you read the guide next week, you're going to be up and running and you're going to feel great about it, that you're absolutely capable of doing this, because we definitely want to empower everybody and we definitely want to set everybody up.
I just wanted to give her a quick answer,
yeah,
if you don't mind. Other than talk about financials, I know, Bloomer, this is your crypto and financial literacy time space, but crypto in general, how it all starts out, you hear Bitcoin, and that was the beginning boom of crypto and turned into a currency. The reason why we associate it to currency and financials is a technology to actually, like, Bitcoin is a storage of value more per se. Throughout times, you can go like 300 BC to BC to the time of trading of what we use for our currency aspect of it. You'd end up having an island of people that could end up creating glass and pearls versus the other. So it was a form of like who had in demand, to whoever held the assets had more value than the other. And crypto So the whole idea over a period of time was to be able to do the trading with, instead of the actual items per ship, you'd have margins and ledgers. And you could see it throughout the history of the Bronze Era and the Sumerian and the Babylonian times, where they used clay ledgers to tap in and have proof of a transaction that would later on be shipped. So as time went on, we ended up turning these margins and ledgers, which was the best way to do our dealings with financials or proof of stake and work and so forth, were these ledgers. So we're moving into an era of data and artificial intelligence and technology, to where that is what crypto is to this day. It covers all of it.
Awesome. T, did she give you a better explanation? Awesome. I mean, this stuff can get really technical and really complicated. So that's all I was trying to say. Hopefully I wasn't being a jerk about that. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Definitely going to get the guide, and I appreciate what you got.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's hard because, you know, we're trying to like make it digestible, keep it simple and get everybody comfortable. And then we're going to keep adding to the knowledge base, you know? So it can get overwhelming. So that was my only thing. I'm trying to not get too deep on some things, but thank God we got the right answer. And thank you so much. River, you are up next, right? I believe.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And again, I'm enjoying the space. I would just add to the last, to Baroness's comments, that those ledgers from ancient times in modern times have turned into like a spreadsheet. And the electronic format of that is the blockchain. So that all the transactions that occur with crypto are mined onto those blockchains, onto the blockchains. And they can't be all pirated because they're put on the blockchain. So it's very secure from that point of view. So I just wanted to add that. But that wasn't the reason I came up. I just thought of it.
And real quick, and thank you for that. And I just want to finish up with this. The reason it's so secure and why it's such a groundbreaking technology is because it's, essentially it's a network of computers fighting for a block, hence the blockchain. But this data is stored across millions and billions of computers. So if you have to, you know, for instance, if someone were to hack the network, they would have to have 51% consensus to alter or change something, which means it's irreversible. You cannot break into it. You know, whereas like a bank, you know, may have a couple servers, it's easy to hack. Blockchain technology, imagine driving a car, like just a Honda Civic, through 700 million walls. You're never going to penetrate it. You know what I mean? To get to the end goal, it's impossible. It's strong. It's unlike any technology we've ever seen in human history, ever.
I like how both you added to it, River. We're not going to get into too much of what block and blockchains and nodes and so forth go, but yes, you're correct. Per block is a 10-minute consensus of verification. From there on, you have a new chain built up, developed, and you can have X amount of nodes on it for the network system, and then a new block will be made for verifications, contracts, and so forth. But that would be with Bitcoin nodes and so forth, are different associations to whatever technology that is projects are being created. But that would be for a later on topic with Bloomer.
Yeah,
right. Sorry. I need a quick favor, guys. If you're enjoying the room, flash some emojis, and maybe you guys could all advertise the room. We're at 47, which is amazing, but tell your friends, like, we're kicking it. You know, we're giving you guys, like, good info. Let's get this room up to 100 if we can. So please advertise the space. Tell your friends, okay?
Also, you can, if anyone uses Facebook or any other social media, go ahead and post the copy of the link. Even if they don't have a Twitter account, they can actually listen in on this without participating through that link.
Also, guys, at the bottom right of the screen, there's a half circle with an arrow pointing up. If you click that, and then you click the button that says share via, and then click Twitter, you can just write a post and it'll get more people inside of this room as well. And that's the most efficient, easy way. You can also click on that button and it'll say share via DM. If there's any friends that you have within your communities, you can go ahead and, you know, post it to them real quick and it'll shoot them a notification as well.
Can I ask my other questions now? This is River.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, brother.
Thanks. I guess the other thing, the things that I was, and we might get into this later, the sort of areas that I was interested in finding out something about is, I know you talked about staking and liquidity. Farming is a thing I saw recently, and I tried to do that, but I just didn't have time to do it. But there's a concept called farming. And the other thing that I wanted to know about is, you know, when do you get out? I have about 25 or 30 altcoins. And it's interesting. I haven't touched any, but it was nice. I bought Terra Luna at $10, and I went to my site where I had it, and it, my God, it's $80. So that was a nice surprise. So my question is, when do you get out?
So real quick, and I just want to touch base on this. I feel like that's going to be kind of like a more advanced thing. I think that we want to stick to the basics, just so that way the people that are here can just get it at a basic level. You know, I host spaces all the time, and I'd be willing to answer that question. But I will say this. I think that the number one thing that you need to realize, especially when it comes to cryptocurrency, and this goes really, really deep, is the fiat mindset versus the crypto mindset. You need to ask yourself, you know, why are you in it in the first place? Your Luna purchase at $10, hold on to that like gold. I have no idea how much of it you have, but we're going to blow your mind as far as what you can actually do with that. So hold tight on that, because you may have just changed your life. I don't know how much you have, but there's this goes deep. So I don't want to go off the beaten path here, but you're in a pretty good position right now.
Yeah, so, I'll just. And he's got to get that altcoin into Bitcoin, doesn't he?
Yeah. So
okay.
So I just touch on the question to answer River in terms of like profit taking, and this is a basic concept. You have to look at. I mean, obviously you would apply a strict set of criteria for selecting your investments, and then it depends on your time horizon and how long. What your goals are, really ultimately what your financial goals are. And in terms of when to take profits, you know, I would look at, is this a medium-term hold, a short-term hold, or a long-term hold? And based on that, I would set some price targets so that you are taking profits, because ultimately you don't make any money until you sell. I mean, that's just a fact. So, you know, I take profits on certain assets. That's their function for, you know, I will set limit order set, like limit sell orders at certain levels. So when it hits them, I can take those profits. It will sell automatically. And then I will reinvest those into stronger assets. Like for me, that's Bitcoin and VGX and a couple others. So it really depends on what the function of the coin or the investment is for you, your time horizons, and that's how I do things. I ladder in and I ladder out of positions, because there's no sense in riding a project all the way up and not realizing any gains and then riding it all the way down to the bottom. Anybody that's been in crypto knows how crazy that can be, and we all have examples of coins that, like, you know, for me, I have coins that I got at 8 cents that went up to like almost $4, and I didn't take profits at like $3.50, and I felt like an idiot, you know. You know, I would look at what's the purpose behind the investment, what's the timeline, and then based on that, I would look at setting some positions to ladder in, ladder out. And
thank you, Aldo. Allocate. Thank you, buddy.
That's good advice. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to give you even better advice, if that's okay. I think where people forget when they're in like crypto is I'm extremely comfortable in the altcoins. I'm extremely comfortable in DeFi. I'm extremely comfortable with risk. But when the projects do really well and it looks like they're maturing or new competitors are coming in, I think people forget that the end game is to store your wealth in Bitcoin. And I just wanted to mention that. And then behind that, I wanted to say one more thing. And I talk about it in the guide. And the link to the guide's up on top, okay? There are 16,000 coins in crypto. That's why we're doing crypto literacy. Maybe 200 to 300 are going to make it. That's why we do this. Like, there's so much that we want to show you guys so you can vet these projects and give yourself a chance at success. Like, they're not all the same. So if you've done really well, and it's a decent project, or the community is lacking, or the utility is lacking, like, get it into Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is going to go pretty far still. It has a very important role to play in this ecosystem. And the majority of these coins are not going to make it, just like the 90s internet. You know, like, we can get into projects. Like, I think Ethereum is not, I think Ethereum has issues. Like, there's a decent chance Ethereum could be Netscape. I really believe that. So I hope that helps, River.
Yeah, it does help. And I have some criteria, like utility and what kind of problem the coin is trying to solve, and what's the size of the population that deals with that kind of problem, are some of, and the management of the project, et cetera. Those are some of the criteria I have to choose the coins I invest in. And just listening to some of the other people, like on sessions like this as well, but you know, with something like Luna or something like Solana, when they're just getting going, you know, and you've made already a comfortable amount of profit, but you don't want to sort of exit it. You know, you might exit it at 20% of what you possibly could make when the project really starts to mature. And so that's sort of you know, the quandary when you're looking at sort of those types of cryptos.
And one last thing. Oh, okay.
All right.
Yep.
I was going to say one last thing that I would add to that is always leave a runner. Like if it's something that you think could potentially be around and you're taking profits, you know, always leave a runner or what we call in crypto a moon bag. So like say you're invested in a project like Solana and it goes up massively, just rips like crazy, and you're taking profits at different intervals, but you don't want to completely liquidate your position because you think it could be here for the long term. Leave a percentage of that in a moon bag or as a runner in case it runs again. And then, you know, you have dry powder on the side, and when the market tanks, if you still have high conviction in that project and it's not become impaired, you can, you know, re-enter and double your investment and gain more of the asset.
Yeah. So. And thank you, Aldo. And River, like, jump into big T spaces because they go over the projects. We're big fans of Luna. For those specific questions, like, jump into big T's. And thank you for your questions. And when you guys are done with your questions, please step down so we can get other people involved. Hey guys, one of Paul's students had a question, and I'm sorry. Let's do IB first, and then let's ask Paul's question. So IB, you're up.
Hey, thanks, guys. My question was a little around the same as Rivers. So I don't want to get too much into profit taking. I did have a question about Voyager. I don't know if this is the right time for.
Do it, man. Questions. Do it, dude. These Voyager guys are great because you guys see, like, you're gonna get on the app. They're gonna work with you. They're gonna make sure you have a good experience. So it's like these guys have a community behind the trading. So. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, shoot your shot.
One thing I wanted to ask was the VGX Heroes. I'm following that. Is there something else I need to do to join that?
Floki actually was the founder of this fun little group.
Yo, not much else you need to do. We could name you on the spot right here if you want. You could pick your identity.
You can jump into the Discord and shoot me a DM. That's really all it takes. The only rule is no duplicates, right? So there will always be only one Lucky, one King Leonidas, one Baroness, one Aldo. So, and I'm on my my spin bank right now. That's the background noise.
Yeah, if you caught that, he'll suit you over the Discord or go to his profile. Or send him a DM, and he'll get you in the Discord. You pick a character, can't be a duplicate, and you're in the VGX Hero community.
Love it, love it, love it. Paul Richmond, ask your student's question, please. Actually, I can do it. One of Paul's students, and thank you guys. Thank you all you high school kids, high school students that are here. I hope you guys are digging what we're doing. The question that the student had was, do you guys think mining is still worth it?
Preferably. The mining that you've thought about in the past, no, because of the high gas fees, you can call them, like Ethereum, Bitcoin, the power that's needed to mine and the operation. And the time is usually done by large groups versus the individual nowadays. Like Bitcoin is a 10-minute verification process of different codes. And if you can't get the system right to verify, you have multiple other groups that are going to win before you. And the cost of you, I mean, you have big rewards, but you have a large cost to be able to run programs. Ethereum is a 15-second verification process, which my brain as individual doesn't work that fast. It reduces a lot of the extra gas fees and so forth. But then again, you have other people working against you, and it still has a large electronic bill, that your utility bill, that's going to come after you. As far as the other programs and other chains where you have mining, like you've probably heard of the Navas CKB network. That's based out in Hong Kong. The majority of the people that run that network is territoried into China. And you know how they are with their machines. So the best bet at this point in time, unless you're a quick whiz, that is not worth it net worth your time, net worth your expenses, your money, and your web security.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think there are other vehicles to make that type of money. And whether that's through staking on a centralized platform, which is, I mean, the returns on Voyager are, I mean, they're very good. And if you want to get into more exotic tools, then, you know, we can cover those at a later time. But I agree with Baroness. At this point, mining, unless it's like a hobby for you and you're just really into running your own rigs and stuff. And, you know, there are a few projects where it can make sense, like Helium. It would make sense depending on your location in the country and geography and everything. But aside from that, I would tend to agree there's just better opportunities through staking, farming, and liquidity pools where you don't have to, you know, pay any of those fees.
I wanted to touch base on that real quick too and just put it in really simple terms. In business, there's a thing called cost of goods sold. And essentially what that is you have to put money up to make money. Mining on a smaller scale where you're utilizing your own network is too costly and you won't make enough money to cover your cost basis. So imagine if you're trying to sell lemonade at a lemonade stand, you had to pay money to make the lemonade. And then when people buy it, you make a profit. So right now at this point, unless you have really high computing power, which costs a lot of money to do, you won't be able to break even. So there's a break even point and it'll take too long. And at this point, it's not worth it because there's so many big time miners that will beat you to get that reward, quote unquote. So you'd have to have a lot of money and capital and computing power to beat out these big larger players.
Yeah, and I think the opportunity to mine was better, obviously, when Ethereum was coming up, when Bitcoin was coming up. And it's possible a new project will come on where it's worth it to mine again. But what Big T is saying is, like, you're going up against big money people that have scale and have better equipment, and they've captured the market, right? Thank you for that question, Paul. Maxwell. Speak, Maxwell. So I know you want breakfast in the morning, so let it rip.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, you were talking about just like cutting back on stuff and then just putting it into crypto. But I was just wondering, do you just like cut back and just put it in immediately, or do you cut back and just like save it up a little bit?
So I think Aldo touched upon a little bit of this earlier. When you cut back and you save it, you can find something that you believe in. So like, let's say, Maxwell, you really like Bitcoin after you did all your investigation and you think you want to get into Bitcoin. Well, if every week you cut back on something, say it's $5 or $10, you start buying $5 or $10 of Bitcoin every week. So after 52 weeks, let's say you bought $10 of Bitcoin every week, you have $522 worth of Bitcoin you bought. But that could have gone up or down based off the volatility. So it might be worth $700 or it might be worth $200. But I wouldn't look at it that way. I would just look at it that you're cutting back on something. You're picking something to slowly buy every week. And over time, it will appreciate in value. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Maxwell, get it into the market as soon as you can. Get the momentum on your money, right? Great job, Lucky. You're the man, bro. You are the man. Thanks, guys. I want to thank the panel. You guys are killing it. You guys are doing a great job. This is like everything I was hoping the vision would be, you know, like the information exchange and everything else. So I just want to give it up to the panel, doing a great job. Thank you so much, and appreciate all the people asking their questions. Brad, you already went, and I am partial to this Infinity person. So I think the Infinity person should be in bed pretty soon. But Infinity, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to ask if, like, how do you invest when you're, like, under 18? Like, invest early as possible.
Oh, that's a great question.
Tell your mom or dad or someone over 18 to get you a wallet, to get you some type of way to get money into the market. That's kind of what I would say. I mean, I would say figure out a way that you can work, give money to someone that of age that can open up the right accounts and have them save it until you're ready.
And then one more thing.
tell your dad to set up and pay your allowance in Bitcoin and Voyager. That's what I do. Allowance, Bitcoin, Voyager.
Okay. Could you go a little bit further into fiat, please?
But yeah, like, I'm going to go into this real quick, okay? Now, what I tell my kids, I actually am a grandma. I'm not that old, but I have a 22-year-old, I have a 16-year-old, and I have a 13-year-old. And all of them at age 18, actually at age 16, I took them in and bought some stocks in fiat. That goes into a generational wealth, okay? Crypto, I would consider a new wealth, okay? Later on, over time, Bloomer can cover those. But then I ended up telling everybody, even to this day, being from a fiat mindset to a crypto mindset, to save the money that you make and not be double taxed on it, you can save up to $6,000 a year. Of course, at 18 years old until age 25, you're still at home, you're doing the right thing. You might get a job, you might not, but you're going to have passive income. You try putting at least $200 a month into an IRA. An IRA is a compact interest, 7% to 9% savings per se. That's not taxable. It's not liquid. So that means you cannot take it out early until the time of retirement, age 65 or early retirement. But then you get a fee, okay? Now, by the time you're 18 to age 25, out of the 7 years of the compact interest rate, and you're moved out of the house, out of college, or what have you, and you are unable to put any more money in, that is okay because you started so early, you will actually have at least $1 million by retirement.
No, I think that's a good advice, Baroness. I think if you're asking on the basis of fiat itself, fiat is government issued currency that is controlled by the central banks and can control how much money is printed. So I think you can go multiple ways to that question. So I think what Baroness said is good advice when you think about how to take fiat and do things with it. You can also take fiat because that's what you earn at a job and you can turn it into cryptocurrency. But what I would ask all you guys to do is do some homework or research, or maybe Bloomer will have it in one of his documents, is really understand what fiat money is and then what like a cryptocurrency token is, and try to understand the difference of how there's max supply for some things, meaning they can never make more than X of a token, versus money where they can print it to infinity, and then that devalues that dollar. So then you'll hear the terms like inflation. So you're getting a little more in the economics piece, but those are some good like concepts and things to just think about or look into.
Thank you.
Great job, Infinity. You are a very
Latin word for by decree. Yeah. It means by force. It means it is not an option. That's what it means. So that's important to understand. The word fiat literally means you don't have a choice. So you're not using it by choice. And if you're interested in fiat literature or fiat everything, Robert Breedlove is the person to look up.
Agreed.
Robert Breedlove will blow your mind and melt your face with knowledge about this.
Yeah. So Infinity, the you guys are in the States, right? So your US dollars are fiat. If you were in Europe, the euro would be fiat. If you were in Japan, the yen would be fiat. So that's what we're talking about. It's like government money, right? And crypto is all about
military, in effect.
yes, sir. And by the way, the strongest military in the world has always held the reserve currency of the world, which
go figure, the dollar.
I actually explained that in the financial literacy course because I think it's so important. So great job, Infinity. I'm pretty sure you guys need to go to bed pretty soon. Okay, where are we, guys? What's next? What else should we talk about? Should we talk about the metaverse? Because, you know, these guys want to know about it. We should definitely talk about drawdowns. We should keep taking questions. And you guys. This is awesome.
I think Brad had his hand up, and then Jem May, if you want to answer the last couple questions.
Yeah, just a quick question, or two quick questions, and hopefully this will be helpful for everyone. So
we talked about how blockchain is like the digital ledger on which these transactions happen, right? So you kind of see it as like the pick and shovels to when it was like the California gold rush. It's like a part, as cryptocurrency grows, the use of blockchain will probably grow, right? So is there like a blockchain coin to invest in? Because, or you're just kind of betting on the technology of blockchain itself, since more people might start adopting cryptocurrency? And then after that, the next question is, where can people go, or like other than Coinbase, what's a good site or good resources to maybe research some new altcoins or new projects for people to keep their eyes on?
Yeah, I can try to take a couple of those and people can jump in. So, I mean, yes, blockchain is the public ledger, right? So blockchain is what's showing the transaction that's happening across the network. So, you know, when we talk about like, when you guys have apps like Venmo or PayPal, or when you do like a Chase Quick Pay, right? There's a technology underneath that that's moving those dollars or funds. Blockchain is the technology that's kind of the digitally distributed, decentralized public ledger that's kind of saying what's happening and where it's going and how it's being exchanged. So I would say that's your answer to blockchain. Can you invest in blockchain? I mean, I'll let Baroness probably answer that in a second, but I would say you're probably investing in the technologies on top of the blockchain is the way I would say it. So like you're investing in a Bitcoin or Ethereum or a Luna that's sitting on top of it. I think your question around the altcoins, the research around altcoins, you know, there are sites out there like CoinGecko or CoinMarketCap that you can look at understanding the tokenomics. So you'll hear us say tokenomics a lot, meaning what's the supply of the coin, what's the market cap of the coin, aka how much money has been put into it. And then from there you can get to the website of the token or altcoin. And then you would hear us say white paper a lot. So there's usually a white paper that explains the coin, what the utility is, what they're trying to do as a community. So I would kind of go down that path. I would Google it. They'll probably get you to CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko. And then you're going to get to the coin, and then you're going to see there's links on there, such as the website to the coin. And then from the website of the coin, you'll get into white papers. And then me personally, I'll give you kind of the Lucky Luciano tip. I like to look on Twitter, the token, and kind of look through who's in it or who's talking about it, and really look at kind of the information I'm finding on like a space like Twitter.
Copy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great question, Brad. Great question, bro.
And one cool thing about CoinGecko is that if once you kind of go down the rabbit hole and you get a little bit more sophisticated and you're looking at projects and you're looking at sectors or sectors in crypto, whether that's DeFi or NFTs or metaverse, there's a way to sort by category on CoinGecko. And so then you can literally select for that, and then it will show you all the projects in that sector. And then you can go through each one of those. And because it can be overwhelming just to look at CoinGecko in general and just search. So once you identified sectors that you're interested in, like if you're interested in gaming or if you're interested in NFTs, that's an easy way to go and narrow down your search. And then you can look at different projects in that filtered search.
Perfect. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And again, you guys should be following the panel. Big T's awesome. Lucky's amazing. All those awesome. Flokey, great to meet you. You know, I don't think we met before, but it's awesome. Paul does financial literacy. The guide's up on top, but these guys are great, man. These guys are real educators. You guys are hearing from real educators that, like, you can feel that, like, they want to help people. And I think that's amazing. I think that's what the community aspect is. And like, we want to help people do well. And I think that's why I vibe so well with these guys, because not only are they interesting, they're actually really bright and they explain it well. So you make sure you follow everybody on the panel and the speakers and whatnot. And thanks again, guys. This is awesome. This is great. Jem May, what is your question, please?
Hello, panel. Yeah. Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, no question. But I just want to commend you, Bloomer, for holding this space. This is awesome. I'm a first time listener, but you have a long time follower in me, and I'm very impressed with the information that you're putting out. This is incredible. And to you, your co-host, and all the speakers that have been up tonight, hats off to you guys, you gals. Salute to you. I want to follow you guys. I want to know when are you having like the next space that you're going to hold covering information like this, because I want to invite. I tend to speak to a lot of young people in my life and about finances and lifestyle and improving, you know, mental capacity and things of that nature. So I want to invite my nieces and nephews to your next space. So when are you planning on holding this again, or is there something?
No. Listen. This is a weekly thing. I'm hoping that Big T, Lucky, and these guys want to do it again with me, and we can make this a weekly thing, because you know the VGX community is awesome, and you guys are seeing that. So the weekly schedule is every Wednesday at 8 p.m. We're going to do crypto literacy. Okay.
Okay.
Every Sunday at 4 p.m. we're doing myself and Paul, and the VGX guys are welcome too if they want to do pure financial literacy. I'm sure we'll go to crypto, because I tell you, I'm on spaces three times a week. Everything gets to crypto. It's hilarious. Like when I hang out with the Money Twitter guys and I come up, they're like, oh God, we're going crypto again, because everybody wants to know crypto. And why wouldn't you? The opportunity cost is better. You know, yeah, no doubt. But so the weekly schedule is, again, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. we're doing crypto literacy, and it's just to introduce the space, go into some things. You know, we haven't even touched on DeFi. We haven't even touched on DYOR. Like, there is so much stuff we can get into, and it's hard. It's hard to kind of pick like where to stop. Right. And then financial literacy on Sundays. We got a DJ in South Africa who's awesome. This guy, DJ S. Boo, he's going to come on for us. So it's pretty cool about Twitter is like you get the whole international thing. So we're friends. Like, I talk to people in Australia and South Africa and Africa in general. So the financial literacy space, we really care about too. Me and Paul are there, and whoever else wants to jump in. Like, I love having a big panel. And there we talk about income. We talk about the assets, all the assets, you know, real estate, stocks, fixed income, commodities. You know, we get into all that stuff. We talk about financial risk, which is something we haven't even gotten into here, which we will. We talk about economics, micro and macro. And the coolest thing about crypto is there's a huge macroeconomics thing to it. And I'm a former I studied economics in college. So like, this is dope, because economics is kind of boring, but not when crypto's here. It's not boring anymore. It's kind of cool again. Like, economics is getting cool again. And then our last section in the financial literacy thing, which is getting into the schools now, is we really get into personal finance, man. We get into cash flow. We get into FICO. We get into credit cards. Like, we really break it down the same way we're kind of breaking it down here. So it's pretty cool that it translates. But the crypto literacy on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. and the financial literacy on Sunday at 4. And I hope I want the financial literacy space to feel like this as well, because this is the format that I just think is fun. It's quick. It hits. And it's not boring, because some of the other spaces, this is like ADD style of teaching, and I think this is how it has to go.
It's incredible. I can't say enough about it. Like I said, I've spent tens of thousands of dollars on personal education, like in stock market training, finance training, insurance, things of that nature. So to the young folks that's on this space tonight, you guys are getting like PhD level type information. Trust me. If you're on here tonight, I want to go ahead and congratulate you for being future millionaires, because you're in the place that you need to be to get the information that you need to change your life and to do things on a drastic level. That's why I said I want to invite my family, my nieces and nephews, into your space to get this knowledge, because like I said, I've paid for mentors, like high level mentors, tens of thousands of dollars for mentors and things of that nature. And the stuff you're talking about is like, it's next level, it's golden. So thank you for you and your panel. And again, to the young folks on this channel, congratulations to being future millionaires. You're in the right place. I don't know Bloomer. He didn't pay me. This is my first time being in this space. But I can tell you authentically, congratulations. So salute to you. Salute to your panel. And you guys have me tagging along for a while. Thanks a lot.
No, that's awesome. And I can't thank the panel enough. I knew these guys would be great. I knew it would be exciting. And they were all like, hey, Bloom, we're jumping on with you. I'm like, awesome. It's just so nice to have an online community that has your back. And we're going to do this. And tell your friends to jump on. Like, I was, and I'm happy. Like, it's great. 45 is great. Like,
hey, Bloomer, you're breaking up.
Oh,
cut out.
Sorry about that. I mean, tell your friends, like, let's grow this room. I mean, we're going to do this every week. But I mean, we get this room up to 200 or 300. Of course we can. Have people sign up for Twitter. Let's go. I know the young people are on Twitter now. So get them on. Let's go. We're going to teach and we're going to have fun. We're going to do this on Twitter, man. And Twitter Spaces is the perfect format. So thank you.
Bloomer, you're killing it, man, with this space.
I appreciate it. I couldn't do this without Big T, Lucky, and the VGX Hero crew. I could not, and I appreciate it. But we're going to get this thing going, man. We're going to do crypto literacy. We're going to do financial literacy. We're going to teach people how to change their lives. And that's all we want to do. And, you know, I just think the crypto space is very overwhelming to people that aren't in it. And, like, we got to start breaking it down. We got to start defining it. Like, we got to define, like, what the majors are, what the minors are, what's a small cap, you know, what's a micro cap. Like, there's just so much stuff to do. And I don't want to overwhelm everybody. I just want to get everybody comfortable with what we're doing. And we're going to get into everything, man. There's so much stuff. Like, we could do 10 of these before we get to the end of crypto, you know? Can somebody who wants to kind of explain the metaverse? Because I know it's a hot topic. We're just kind of catering to the young people and catering to, like, the hot topics right now. Who wants to break down the metaverse? And then I don't know what time you guys want to go to bed, but, you know, I'm here till this thing dies out. So, but it's up to you guys.
I just wanted to say, man, you know, we are stronger together. I'm going to bounce out of here, but let's keep coordinating. Let's keep working together and let's keep this narrative going in the right direction. You did an excellent job. If I could ask anything from you guys, it's to throw up some 100s for Bloomer. He has been a knock out of the park performance tonight. It's really incredible to see and hear, man. You're doing great.
I appreciate that. Again, I couldn't do without this panel. And I just want to say that, man, the panel's awesome. These guys are awesome people. And I'm so happy. I've only met these guys, 2 weeks ago. So it's just awesome because we all vibe. And I appreciate everybody teaching and explaining. And, you know, some people know certain sectors. Like Baroness, you killed it tonight. And great job there. And, you know, Aldo knows, you know, the DeFi stuff. So it's like, it's just great. We're all learning. I'm still learning. You know, we all have stuff to learn. And that you want to be a lifelong learner. That's the whole key, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to let anyone speak up on Metaverse. If not, then I'll go.
I got one question and I'll let you guys go. Are you all able to record these for those that aren't able to make them?
Yeah, so I don't know how to record them. And that's my fault, but I do plan on recording them. I need somebody to help me figure that out. Paul and I have fumbled that all the time. Maybe the VGX heroes know how to do it. But when I came on tonight, I didn't see the record button at the bottom. So maybe I'm not big enough to record at 2,300 followers. I don't know. But as soon as I can record it or somebody else can record it, I definitely want to record them. And thank you, T. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I hope to see you next Wednesday. Tell your friends. Everybody tell your friends. Get them on Twitter. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I love TikTok. TikTok is so cool. So much fun. But, like, there's nothing wrong with learning stuff. And Twitter Spaces is, like, the number one place to learn right now. It is the cool classroom, if there was such a thing, man. Like, this is it. And Spaces has been the greatest thing to Twitter, in my opinion. It's so much more fun now. You get to feel people, hear people. And you can tell everybody here cares. So that's awesome. Metaverse, please.
I'm trying to, you might hear echo because I'm trying to exit out of the computer. There we go. Computer version. I was just checking how to record. So yeah. The metaverse, you hear about the metaverses all the time. People think of it as a new form of the internet, where we have currently. You go on your normal internet browser, Brave, Netscape, or Netscape's not exist anymore, Firefox. And you think that automatically you're going to wake up one day and it's Web 3. No, Web 3 is a concept. It is where it will interlink the idea of what you currently use for the interweb. And instead of your regular like Amazon checkout button, it'll be linked to a blockchain, which is a smart contract. When they integrate the technology of what is considered the block and chains and the technology that's with NFTs and so forth, when we get into NFTs, it's not just a JPEG. Like your Samsung TVs, smart TVs actually have NFT technology to where it reduces your packet drops, where things come faster to your imagery. That is Web3. So Web3 is in the now, is happening, but in a sense where you're not going to see a disruption. The metaverse is built onto blockchains as individual nodes and different blockchain technologies integrated into it. And that will bring things into considered Web3, to where what you're using today that's updated with your smart TVs, you can actually use them to access the metaverses, no matter what blockchain that they're built off of. So that's just in a nutshell, not without technicalities.
Yeah, and I'll read my little segment from the course on how I define the metaverse. The metaverse is a combination of multiple elements of technology, including virtual reality, augmented reality, and video. Users get to live within a digital universe. It's a plural term. There will be many worlds and even perhaps dimensions. This is still a very young sector with tremendous potential. And the VR in our house is always being used. So that's how I see the metaverse. It's being built and we're not quite there yet. Ready Player One, the movie, was an outstanding depiction of the metaverse. So thank you. And thank you, Baroness. Thank you so much. All right, Lucky, what do you think we do from here, boss?
You know, I think maybe just a quick recap on, you know, for those out there listening, you know, cryptocurrency, getting onto a platform, saving part of your income to buy it, thinking about ways to, what we talked about, staking to get percentages off your money. So I think those are things we covered so far, right? You know, I think in future we'll cover liquidity pools and farming. I think those are good concepts and things to talk about as we get farther down. You know, the blockchain, knowing that it's a public ledger. I mean, just kind of reiterating those core fundamentals and words that you'll hear is good, just to kind of hear it repetitively, because you're going to hear those in all the conversations you join. So come up here and ask questions, or if you think something's not clear, like, come ask where you're confused, because we're here for you guys. We're here to answer those. And like what Bloomer was saying earlier is like, the panel up here is a group of people that have gone through a lot of this. We've went through our mistakes. We've kind of fumbled to get to where we're at. And to have this type of connection, utilize it. Don't be scared. Come up here, ask. No question is stupid. Trust me. And just let us help you understand where you guys have questions at.
And I just want to say thank you so much, brother. You were amazing tonight, and I appreciate all your input. And it's great to have you on the panel, and I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much, man. I want you to hear that, okay?
Yeah, Bloomer, I wasn't trying to hiccup everything that you wrote to define what the metaverse was.
You, Baroness, you were amazing. Exactly, you were amazing tonight. Thank you so much.
Well, it's exactly what I was getting at. In retrospect, but I was just trying to apply to what we have in current days. But yes, it's super, super early, and everything that you wrote is exactly to the T.
Yeah, you know, thank you. I have a couple more days to finish it, and it's in really good shape. It's just, it's hard when you make your own content because you want it to be at a certain level. So, and then you step back and then you look at it again, but. You know, I wish I could write more on the metaverse, but it's so early, right? I mean, all you can really do is like the Ready Player One, comparisons and stuff. And, you know, you buy stuff in the metaverse, maybe it gets delivered to your house. I don't really know, you know. But thank you, Baroness. You were amazing tonight. I really, like, I never saw this side of you, and you were awesome. So I can't thank you enough. All right.
Aldo, I see your hands up. What's up?
Yeah, Aldo, give it a ride.
Yeah, one core concept that I don't think we mentioned today, which is basic and fundamental to anyone entering the space, is the topic of security and how to secure your crypto assets. This is by far and away, I think, one of the most important concepts to understand before you get into investing your money into crypto. Is how do you secure them and make sure that they are secure? How do you set up a wallet? What's the difference between an exchange wallet, a hot wallet, a cold wallet? How do you set up non-attributable email addresses so that you're not using like your Gmail account for your crypto stuff, because those are easily spoofable, and we could get into that later on. But security is something I think that is absolutely paramount to understand when you accept the responsibility of becoming your own banker, because with the upside of crypto and all of the great benefits and financial benefits that we have, you're assuming the responsibility of being your own banker and protecting your own assets and your wealth. So that's something that I think we could discuss either tonight or some other time. But I think it's an important concept.
I think that's a good point. I'll probably touch upon it real quick just to give people the basics. So when you guys sign up for an exchange like Coinbase or Voyager or whatever centralized platform you're going to start, right? Because you move in your US dollars or your fiat into a platform, your money is going into like an account that we've talked about. Now, when you buy a certain type of cryptocurrency, you get a wallet address. So you're going to hear or read about a wallet address. That wallet address is unique to you. That is like your bank account number that is only assigned to you. So when you start getting a little farther in this journey, you're going to interact with different wallets. So Bloomer has said things like, the DeFi world, or we've talked about earlier around Uniswap and PancakeSwap. Well, to do some of those things, you need to move off the central exchange, like a Coinbase or Voyager, move it to another wallet, and then connect that wallet to do transactions. So when you do things like that, you're moving from wallet address to wallet address. And there's a lot of security that you need to think about when you're doing that. When we say security, we're saying be secure about it, right? You can go sign up for a trust wallet. You'll hear us say that probably in the future, or a MetaMask wallet or a Coinbase wallet, right? Those are just wallets that can hold different coins. And the address that you get is unique to you. So for example, if I want to transfer over Bitcoin from a Coinbase platform to my trust wallet, you put a wallet address that you want to send it to. So the biggest thing there that goes is like, if you mess that up, you have a high probability of losing all your money. So that's what Aldo was saying, like with reward comes risk, and risk is making sure you're also taking all the steps the right way. So I don't want to get too far into that path, but I think knowing that there's wallet addresses, they're unique to yourself. Don't ever share really your wallet address to anyone that's really not your like significant other, probably. I mean, my wife doesn't know my wallet address, to be honest.
Right.
But don't share your wallet address. Don't share your private keys. Like, don't share that stuff in the world. A lot of the hackers or people that will ping you are like, hey, what's your wallet address? Let me help you out. Do not ever, ever, ever tell anyone
your wallet address. You know what, Lucky? I think that's a great point. I think next week we should do wallets. We should do wallets. We should do security. Maybe we'll get into DYOR next week.
We should get into 2FA on your
phone. Yeah, 2FA. Like
2FA. Ether. Yeah. I'd like to teach people about the Ether scan. So like you
can see. Yeah, I would love that. I think that's great, man. I think that makes sense. And then we'll mix it up too. Because like, we don't want to discourage people too much, but we do want them to be street smart about this, because even though you're online, man, you got to be street smart, man. You got hackers trying to take your bags, you know, and hey, dude, I'm on a Discord, and hey, man, congratulations, you just want a half a Bitcoin. All you have to do is get onto my website and connect your stuff. Or, hey, man, you give me one Bitcoin, I'll give you five.
Right.
There's so many scams. It's crazy.
I mean, and to me, it's fundamentally understanding wallets and knowing what that means to you. Because, like, you know, for me, that didn't have anyone like this. I couldn't talk to someone. It was all just reading and Googling. I was like, shit, I don't know. Like, even understanding the different chains, right? The Bitcoin chain is different than the Ethereum chain, which is different than the Avalanche chain, which is different than the BNB chain. Like, even just kind of explaining that there's different chains and things can't go back and forth like that is super important. Because I read a lot of newbies that come in this world and they're like, hey, I have Bitcoin, but I want to get to Ethereum. And then they try to send it to the wrong wallet address, and then they you can lose your money that way, right? So it's like even just making
crazy.
Sure you understand that.
It's crazy too, right? If you mess up an exchange to a wallet and you send a token or coin to the wrong wallet that doesn't accept it, like you're done. So I think that's great. I think that's cool. Like that's what we should go over next week, maybe the wallets, security stuff, and then get into some other stuff. But any other last questions from anybody? I can't thank the panel enough. You guys were amazing. I can't thank everybody in the room. I hope you guys had some fun, slash some emojis or whatever. I don't know what it's called. But do us a favor, like tell your friends, man. Let's get this room popping. You know, we can get this room up to 200, no problem. Tell your friends in high school or college, like we're going to teach this stuff and we're going to help you guys get there. We want people to have generational wealth, like crypto and financial literacy. This is how you build generational wealth, and it's fun. It's fun. It's an amazing video game. Like it's good stuff. Like you're going to learn a lot even by researching. Man, when you research a project and you get it right and it goes in your favor and you start making money, man, nothing feels better. Baroness, you're up.
You said that right when I took a bite of a banana. Real quick, before the next person has a question, I was just going to let you know every Wednesday at 8 p.m., the current people that are in the VGX Heroes, we do have our weekly AMAs at 8 on Wednesdays. So if we want to continue this with cybersecurity and so forth, we could probably do it on a Sunday if you'd like to invite any of us back.
How about Tuesday nights then? For you guys, would that be better if we move this to Tuesday night and then I get you guys and then we, because I don't want to go up against your Wednesday thing, but I'll talk to Big T, we'll figure it out. I hear you and I want you guys involved, so I mean I'm pretty flexible on it. I mean Sunday afternoon we have financial literacy, but I mean if we need to pick a new night, that's cool, we'll do it, because I do want you guys here.
We can work on that after hours and so forth. But I'm really pumped about cybersecurity because I can go delve into all the backworks of how to hack people.
Yeah, you have that background, right?
I have a background in securing websites, browsers, and banking information because I deal with a lot of medical billing and so forth.
Awesome. Paul Richmond, what do you have to say? What'd you think? I mean, as a crypto newbie, what'd you think about this?
Well, I have 28 students and 22 of them came on tonight in the space.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And it's hard as a teacher, but it's exciting when I have to try to learn faster than them. Right. I mean, I gotta help them out. And I'm a traditional financial literacy guy, but I'm buying into this crypto the more I listen to it. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I mean, the math is better, right? The math, the investment math is better, right? I mean, it's a new asset. It's a new asset.
Well, and what's exciting, it's just exciting to see the excitement. I mean, it's between 8 and 10 at night, and I have kids jumping on doing, quote, homework, right? I mean, just because they like to hear about this stuff. So I'm going to have a lot of questions. I've DM'd a few people and we're going to have a busy day in school tomorrow.
Yeah. And just Paul, do me a favor, tell your students to tell their friends, let's get this thing popping. You know, word of mouth is what we need. And, you know, I think the demand is there. I think the students are there. I think it doesn't even matter whatever your age is. If you want to learn crypto, we're doing this thing. And then Big T, we were talking about maybe switching this to another night because you guys have a Wednesday thing, so we'll figure something out.
Yeah, the only day that, and sorry about that, I dropped and my phone died and then I had to turn it back on and charge it. It don't work real good. I'm free up every night except for Monday nights.
Okay, and you don't care that the Wednesday 8 p.m. here goes against something else on Wednesdays?
I have nothing to do on Wednesdays.
Yeah, because I need you. I mean, I need you. You're my guy.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. I mean, I love this. I love the group. I love hanging out. Like, I'm not doing anything here. I'm just hanging out and enjoying the conversation.
Awesome. Hey, awesome.
If you get a list of questions from your students, because I'm sure some just don't want to come up and speak, feel free to get a list. And then if we can just get a pre-read at some point, we can just kind of help facilitate those for you guys.
Absolutely, because I've been answering a lot of texts tonight, you know, and part of the comfort zone, I've wanted my students to step up. I offered my class breakfast tomorrow if X amount of students came up and spoke. Bloomer touched base on that, but I'll get a pre-list, yes, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's probably intimidating. I can understand, but I would just emphasize, like, no question is stupid. Big T has been on a bunch of these. I'm sure he's gotten every question and every comment. I've heard a bunch. Like, nothing is off the table here.
Yeah, and I appreciate and it is a safe space. Like, you know, we're not gonna. Hopefully, I mean, I hope I wasn't rude to anybody. I apologize. I get so excited sometimes, and I get nervous sometimes. I have a little anxiety, so it's nothing. You know, it's harder when you host. It is like Big T's so good at it. But listen, don't forget, there was a 13-year-old that came up and just ripped questions. So if a 13-year-old can do it, you can do it as a 15, 16-year-old. You'll be fine.
I thought he was 14. Maybe you just try to act older.
Yeah. I let me just say this. I know he's 13. Let's leave it there.
Hey, Paul, I'll sweeten up the pot, too. The next time we host this and your students come, I'll do a free giveaway of some crypto. And then all they have to do is have their parents download the app, and I'll send it to them.
That is awesome. Now we are talking real-world stuff. I have a quote in my class that the world is our classroom. And if that doesn't exemplify it, I mean, thank you.
So Big T, you want to take over? You want to see if anybody's got questions? You guys have more time? Should we shut? I mean, Big T and his group, man, they do marathon spaces. Like, I got another hour. I mean, but people have their, I mean, whoever has questions, come on up. If you've asked your question and you're done, please step down so we can take new questions. And I guess shoot whatever shot you want to shoot, I guess.
Yeah, I'm cool to hang out for another hour or so. Yeah.
Yeah, I could do another 45, no problem. All right. So let's see. We got another request. Dose X guy. Might be a Sheba guy. All right. Sheep General.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, family? Once again, thank you guys so much for taking time out, hosting the space. Incredible job. Every single one of you across the board. Hands down, phenomenal. Even the people asking questions, everybody in the community, people engaging with the hundreds, it was phenomenal. You guys all did fantastic. So it was all love for the past 2 hours. I literally just wanted to suggest, just from previous experience, especially I love to hear that this is something that we want to do continually at a set time. With that being said, oftentimes when that's the case, people tend to have a hard time when they kind of do trickle on to the wee hours. So I would suggest, take it for how you will, but maybe if we do, like right now it's 10, just a little bit past 10, like maybe if we do host the like crypto literacy, the intro literacy classes, like we do like a set 8 to 10, that way people don't really feel like they are missing out or like, oh my gosh, I can't stay up that late and like they're missing out on things. But I was going to suggest Big T or one of you guys, maybe we should host like an after party hangout lounge, going back to the similar type of space that Big T was hosting just before we hopped into Bloomers.
That's
where it's an open mic.
That's awesome. Right. That's awesome. So like we do the crypto literacy for 2 hours, and then anybody that wants the after party, assuming that they're 18 and older, they jump on Big T's thing. I love that idea. That's awesome.
I didn't realize 2 hours went by. That's how much fun I had.
That's how much we're doing. And if we could figure out a way to record these things, that would be awesome. I keep missing the button or something.
So
and,
I have
you know.
A good feeling.
So
somebody's Paul, chewing Christine. Chips in the microphone.
Yeah, come on, Paul. That's my partner, Paul. He's a boomer. He's a Gen X guy. He likes to leave his mic open. I apologize.
Hey, Bloomer, what I can do, I'm on the education panel for the VGX Heroes.
Yes, sir.
And we record stuff. So I can reach out to my people there and see if we can't get something set up
to help help facilitate you recording your these sessions.
Yeah, and this is great. I mean, I want to do this with you guys. I think you guys are an amazing panel, and I knew you guys were going to be awesome at this. And it's just awesome to like have a vision and then see it work out. It's really cool. And I think this space can get much bigger. And I appreciate everybody in here. I really do. I love that we were at like 55, 60 at some point in time. This is our first time out.
So. Yeah, on your first space. On your first space, it was like over 50-something people. I mean, it
Which was awesome. Which was awesome. Yeah. And it's like, I have a good friend of mine in West Virginia, and I'm like, yo, I'm going to do crypto. He's like, well, call it crypto literacy because you already do financial literacy. Like, keep it on brand. I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, what is crypto literacy? At least we're defining it, which I think is pretty cool. You know?
Should real quick. Terra Spaces, can you check your DMs, brother?
Bloomer, should we do closing comments then and close it up?
Or yeah, let's close this down. And then anybody, you guys should be following Big T. You should be following Lucky. You should be following Aldo, Baroness. They're going to go to an after hours. And it's just looser. It's more fun. You pick your projects. You ask your questions. It's like having a drink at the bar or at the fireplace. It's a blast. Like
No censorship.
Yeah, it's fun, man. It's funny, and you get to be yourself, and it's safe too. Like nobody's going to be mean to anybody. It's an absolute blast.
So we really talk about how many Lambos we're going to get, Bloomer.
I want my Lambos. I want that new Ford Bronco. You know, like I think that thing is dope. So, but you know, hey, the crypto can buy that in a couple of years, whatever, right? All right. So, closing comments. I just like to say thank you, everybody. I hope this was a great first step. We'll do this weekly. We're going to, you know, tell your friends, you know, bring your friends, we'll bring our friends, that type of thing. And we're going to get into wallets next week, security, the free crypto guides up on top. Sign up for that. It drops on Tuesday. And God bless everybody. Who is next? Thank you so much.
You know, I think for those that are still here from Paul's class, I would say the one takeaway for, you know, session one, week one is, you know, sit down and really think about, you know, if you're working a job right now, or if you plan to work a job, think about your finances, think about how you can take money out of that pool and set it aside and invest in something and do that little by little. Think about the time you have, Google interest compounders, understand how money can work for itself, and just start there on the journey and set yourself up for success now, which is going to go a long way. And just remember those comments, like skip that Starbucks for a day, skip going out to the movies one time a week, you know, don't go to the bar, don't go to this or that, and take that money that you would have spent and invest in yourself. And in the long run, you'll have a lot of success.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you to Bloomer for putting the space on. Thank you for inviting me on to be on the panel. It's been thoroughly enjoyable. Thank you for allowing me to share what I do know about the space. Lucky basically did a great job right there. I don't have too much to add. Just understand that we are living in the greatest time ever that any human being has ever had. We have an ability now to shape and form our financial futures better than any other era in history. And it's a blessing because we have the technology and now we have the ability to communicate together like we're communicating now. And the greatest thing that all this brings to bear is we have the shared knowledge of just innumerable amounts of people. The collective hive mind is much more powerful than any one person. And it's spaces like this where you're going to learn and you're going to be able to maximize your growth. So I would just say this is a great time to be alive and a great potential that we have. Just avail yourself of it, educate yourself, and then protect yourself. Like, I love it.
I wanted to add, my closing statement is just, you know, I really appreciate being here. The last couple of weeks have been an absolute whirlwind for me. I've met so many amazing people, and Spaces has really opened up an opportunity for us to teach each other. And I'm just so thankful for that. You know, I've done a lot of things. I've accomplished a lot over the last month. But I think this is probably the most rewarding, and the fact that we're teaching our youth the importance of financial literacy. This is something that's not really taught in schools. And Paul, I want to say I respect you so much for doing this, because, bro, if I had a teacher like you and somebody to guide me along my path, I'd be so much further in life than I am right now. So I just want to say congratulations to you for what you're doing. And I can't tell you, you know, how important this really is and how groundbreaking it really is. You know, financial literacy is for everybody. It doesn't matter your age. It's if you take interest in it. You know, it's a huge advantage to these children that you're putting it right in front of their face and giving them that opportunity. So I just want to say thank you. Awesome job. I also want to say congratulations to Bloomer. This is a fantastic space. You've accomplished a lot tonight. You've touched a lot of people. And it's really moving what you're doing. You know, financial literacy, you know, from your standpoint, is going to change a lot of people's lives. You know, like I said before, I'm lucky enough. I got the opportunity to read the guide and see the work that you put into it. And I want to say thank you for trusting me as an individual to read that and take away that knowledge. Because to be honest with you, I learned a lot of stuff in there, Bloomer, that I did not know. So just congratulations to you. You're doing the right thing. You're doing a great job. And I'm happy to be a part of this.
I'm so happy to have you, man. And I'm happy to have all you guys. And let's build a community here, right? Let's build a community around this stuff. And that would be amazing. So thank you, guys. Thank you to the panel. I hope everybody had a good time. I hope you're following these brilliant people that I'm fortunate to be associated with. And follow Big T and crew over to their spaces. And it's a little more chill. It's fun. And we'll do this again next week, and we'll talk about security and wallets and protecting your bags and stuff. And then we'll get into maybe some DYOR. And there's just so much stuff we can do. It's like wide open, but we're going to define it, and we're going to get you guys comfortable in this space, because you want to be in this space. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Awesome job, brother. I'll see you guys.
Thank
on
you,
the
buddy.
Next time.
Thank you. See you on the
awesome.
Side.
See ya.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Crypto Literacy Chat with Bloomer and Friends, hosted by Big T and the VGX Heroes. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody want to rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, these sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around $0.75 to listen to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointing too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.